I mean, dude, Finding Forrest is a basketball movie.
Yeah, I was
like really into the basketball.
So you were about Coach Carter?
Yeah, it was. It's not my favorite of. I mean, I'm like deep into that world. I was like a basketball head.
The Coach Carter world.
I was. I mean, I saw Coach Carter like 3 times.
Wow, this movie is sick.
No, have you ever seen He Got Game, Spike Lee movie?
Oh, I haven't, but
it's awesome.
It is, yeah.
They just play, dude, the basketball series at Roxy, like apparently it was like one of the worst performing series they've ever done. Really? Like no one went, which is really surprising.
No one's fucking with Coach Carter style shit. Did they play Coach Carter?
They did not play Coach Carter, unfortunately. They played He Got Game. There's this other movie called Love and Basketball.
That's
a sick movie. I mean, Finding Forrester was, in my opinion, the best of the bunch. I was really into movies like that, though. Like do you ever see The Replacements?
No.
With Keanu? Mm-hmm. It's a great movie. You've seen Rudy, right?
No.
Never seen Rudy?
Mm-mm.
The football shit?
I don't know it.
It's like a Notre Dame like college football movie. I mean, it's like the most famous sports movie of all time.
Rudy?
Yeah. Really? You never see Rudy?
Yeah.
These are all special films. These are like... Well, actually, that's something I wanted to bring up about Finding Forrester that like you could talk about even without having seen the movie. But like the type of sentimentality that's in that movie, I've talked about this a lot. Like it's sort of a theme maybe with like bringing up Blue Valentine and like these movies that are like very heartfelt.
Mm-hmm.
But like Finding Forrester also has this sort of like uplifting, sentimental narrative arc that I almost feel like is almost like culturally old at this point.
Yeah. That's so true.
Like, everyone left the movie so inspired and like, actually some like, oh, life makes sense. And like having goals is important. Like all these things that just like kind of we grew up with. Well, and I'm like, is this not in anything
anymore?
I
know exactly what you're talking about. I haven't quite formulated it the way you're talking about, because thinking about it in terms of sports movies is actually a good way to think about it. But I have had this thought of like, why is just like general, kind of inspirational sentiment feel like dated?
I know, watching it, people are like, oh wow, it's like it's so of its time, like 2000. I'm like,
I've said this on the pod before, and I think it kind of has some, I'm trying to work it out. I think it's what I was saying of like, what I said about 8 Mile, which is that personal triumph is like out.
I mean,
like,
no one
wants a personal triumph. It has to be like only movies of like, you know, overcoming adversity has to be like representative of like a societal problem. It can't be about
personal
like a
triumph
person thing.
Is like there's more of an emphasis on it being from like potentially a different sort of identity or something.
Yeah. But even,
or it's allowed if it's that.
Yeah. But even if it's not, I mean, even if it's not, you know, a different identity, like a minority or something.
Yeah.
I don't mean it's not just identity. There's like something about, like a person overcoming and like, or like working hard and succeeding is like a thing you're not allowed to do anymore. Or just like, it's like out of vogue. I feel like a script like that wouldn't even get funding.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, cause if you watch the trailer for Finding Forrester, it actually seems like maybe it like feels a little racist, because it's like a black kid who gets recruited for basketball into a prep school. But then there's like this mysterious figure who's like always watching him play basketball, and it's Sean Connery. And he's this like reclusive writer who only wrote one book that everyone's obsessed with. It's like some like Gallo shit. Some like, like no one knows why he never wrote another book.
Yeah,
and then
he
starts helping him with his writing. But like in the trailer, it kind of seems like, oh, like the white guy has to teach the black kid how to write. Like it's kind of racist.
Mm-hmm.
But the movie ends up ultimately being about how like the white guy, like Sean Connery, the legendary writer, didn't make another book because he's like actually like low-key like insecure and like afraid of the world, and like how he's actually like has so many problems, and like Jamal, the main character, like actually is a genius and like randomly helps. It's like randomly like a movie about like their friendship, but it's just like really sweet. But like weirdly, it's like actually really woke, but in a way that like kind of feels anti-woke. Or like they have this like racist exchange where they're like saying things about white and black people that actually feels like kind of advanced. Like the fact that they're just actually saying it feels kind of advanced. I don't know. It's an awesome movie. I was worried though, because like a bunch of people went that I was like, I hope this like it doesn't suck or like isn't really corny.
Was that the only like well attended one of the series?
It still wasn't well attended. Just like most. I mean, like the only people that were there were people who came because they were like, "Yeah, I want to pull up." Like it was like 5 people I knew. But I was worried because, like, I remember that, like, the crux of the movie is sort of about, like, their friendship. And I was like, is that going to hit, like, a movie about friendship? And it hit so hard. Like, almost everybody that came cried. I was crying, too.
Wow.
A movie about friendship. Yeah. So, like, there's a, like, what movie is about that now?
I know.
Friendship?
I know. So true. What even are movies about now, dude?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Like, I'm trying Dune. To think. It's like sci-fi.
Or it's like
Barbie.
Maybe it's just what
Oppenheimer.
Yeah, I know. It's like
character.
Kind of biopic style shit.
Yeah.
Or it's like
Poor Things. It's some like weirdo.
It's some like post-hereditary horror movie that's actually a
Zone of Interest.
Like a really simple metaphor for like internalized trauma style shit. It's all trauma, dude. Trauma queen. Did we ever say that on the pod?
Trauma queen.
Did we ever say that? Did you come up with that?
I came up with that.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Instead of a drama queen, we got trauma queens now.
Yeah, there's trauma queens
all over
every
place.
Which way. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's what movies are about now. Trauma. That's literally it. That's why. That's why it feels dated. Yeah, there's nothing. There's no movies about friendship.
You know why? Also, I really
or some like licorice pizza, just some like weird nonsense. You know what
I'm saying? Like, about like Alana Haim being hot to PTA. It's about her being in her bra.
Yeah, what are movies about? That's so, this is randomly blowing my mind.
It's about casting Philip Seymour Hoffman's son. That's what it's about.
Dude, this is randomly completely blowing my mind.
No, I know. That's why I've been returning to these movies that are like about like regular emotions and like life. That's like probably why 6 Feet Under hit for you so hard. And that's like also why I love that show. It's just I'm like, this is like about life in like normal way.
You know what kind of, even though it felt very modern in a lot of ways, and it's modern, it's like so many years ago at this point, but like Moonlight had like
I know
a good
kind
of classic like, emotionality to it.
It's very personal.
Yeah.
It just feels like very specific and personal.
And that was like the last like super hyped movie that I was kind of like...
This is sick, yeah.
Yeah.
Moonlight is great.
Moonlight is great. It's awesome. Actually feel, I mean, obviously I haven't seen it in years and years, but I feel like it...
definitely still fire.
I feel like it definitely held up.
Yeah.
Anatomy of a Fall last year, I really liked...
It was close.
It's not exactly what we're saying at all, but...
It's on the right track.
It was smaller. Well,
you know, I mean, Holdovers is kind of...
I still haven't seen it.
It's not quite... It's a little more like play-like or theatrical. It's not quite the same level of emotionality.
And then even like, I don't know, what was the fucking Spielberg thing that people liked that I hated?
The Fablemans.
Fablemans. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that was like trying to be that, but it was like modernized in this horrible way that I hated, and it wasn't emotional at all to me.
It was self-aggrandizing.
Exactly. And kind of just, not relatable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Maybe movies just like don't feel universal anymore.
I just feel like they can't a movie
like
just
universally relatable. I mean,
yeah. I mean, I feel like a movie just can't just like be about a relationship anymore. It just can't be about like these two people. And,
you're
like,
so
what
right. You're so
them.
Right about that being why 6 Feet Under hit so hard for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're so right.
Because it's just about like somewhat.
It's just about like being human, for lack of a, you know. It's like literally that simple. It's not even like it's about relationships. It's about like coming of age, like all these things that you can say, but it really is just the kind of breadth of being human. That's what all the stuff is. That's what coming of age means. That's what romance is. These are all, it's a human experience movies. Movies are not human experience anymore, which is also fine. I love a lot of movies that are like fantastical and out there. I love that shit.
Dude, this is why, I mean, I know you haven't watched it, but this is why I like that show, The Affair, so much, because it's literally just about a guy who like has an affair. And like it's just like is normal. It's just like about his fan. It's just like about a relationship.
Yeah.
Like to me, that's like the peak of what is interesting. It's just like someone's relationship.
Right.
That's basically what's interesting to me.
I mean, you know, it's weird. It's like what kind of, this stuff is why all the prestige TV shows were so.
That's why I love
Universal. Exactly. Yeah. That's what you. I mean, Sopranos is like that.
Yeah.
Even Breaking Bad, which is more action probably than most of the other prestige shows, is still kind of. I mean, obviously TV is different because you're living with these characters, but it is this, like when you get to know these characters and their relationships, it is relationships that makes these things so kind of, you know, goated.
I mean, Entourage is just a show about friendship also.
Yeah.
Friendship and like your career.
I still feel like we haven't fully figured out what's going on.
No, here's something that was really interesting to me is that, like, I liked Finding Forrester when I first saw it because, like, I had seen movies like that before that were kind of, like, inspiring coming-of-age movies that, like, take place in a school and it's, like, the person's working hard to achieve their dreams. It's, like, it's sort of a normal movie.
Normal.
But infused with, like, the weird, like, ambient Gus Van Sant, like, art house. Like, yeah. There's, like, all these, like, it's, like, a weird, like, ambient guitar score. And it's, like, kind of takes its time and it feels kind of abstract weirdly. Like, I think the art house elements of it, I was, like, wow, this movie's, like, so beautiful. Like, there's something really, like, enraptured. Like, I'm really enraptured by it or something. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm really, like, kind of mystified by it.
Yeah.
But I think there were elements of the plot that were totally lost on me when I watched it when I was younger. And, like, just, like, the fact that there was, like, a reclusive author who was, like,
yeah,
locked up somewhere and, like, had all of these other books that he had written that, like, he wouldn't release to the world. I was, like, randomly, this element of the plot is, like,
I know,
so my shit. I mean, now
that's actually some of my favorite shit is when you revisit stuff you liked as a kid and now you find yourself understanding the parents more than the kids. You know, I mean, it's pretty standard. No, I used to always relate.
Well, people will probably find this funny and it's, like, potentially racist, but, like, I always, like, I love Jamal's face. There's something, like, really ambient, just like casting wise, like, his face, like, you could project a lot onto it, but I always thought he kind of looked like me. Something about, and I said it to Maddie and she was like, I mean, don't say that. Oh, wow. But she was like, I know.
Why?
She was like, I know exactly what you're talking about. She's like, he does look like you. Like,
why can't you say that out loud? What's wrong with that?
I don't know. Maybe it's bad for some reason.
You're not allowed to say someone who's a different race looks like you?
Do you know what he looks like?
No. Isn't that less racist?
I want to know if you think if you, I look
even
like
if
him.
If you say people look like people who are the same race, isn't that more racist?
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
So what are you talking about? So what I just said is woke.
Yeah, exactly.
Jamal looking like KJ is woke.
What's the actor's name?
Just look, type in Finding Forrester Jamal. I mean, his name being Jamal is probably not the best writing choice. But
let me see.
Dude, he looks exactly like
doesn't
you.
He look exactly like me?
Wow.
That's definitely the art for the episode. It's just like a close-up picture.
Dude, this literally looks like you.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, this literally looks like you.
I think it's why I related so
this looks
so
like that fucking AI thing where it like changes your race.
I know. Well, because also at the time, I was obsessed with basketball, and like I was like really also obsessed with school and like being good at it and like writing
dude,
well.
Dude, look at this huge shit.
I know! Right? Okay, so I'm not crazy.
No, dude, not at all. That's really some of the most astute shit you've ever seen.
I know. No, and that's why everybody walking out being like, wow, now you really make sense. And I was like, do you think I kind of look like him? They're like, everyone was like, absolutely.
Wow, dude.
Like, Petrus was like, dude, he's so you. It's hilarious.
Dude, this is ridiculous to me.
I know.
You like make this face all the time.
I know, it's so...
Especially in high school. This like looks like you as a kid.
How sick.
Wow, that is such an amazing call.
No, but also the movie's kind of about like, it's weirdly like very similar to what we talk about on the podcast a lot, where we're trying to figure out like our creativity and like how to like, what?
So you.
I know. Look at what Anna Paquin looks like too. It's like, oh, she's the rubric for every girl I've ever been attracted to. Like, this will be funny to you also. I mean, it's probably a little less on the nose than how much Jamal looks like me, but... Also, that kid was never... I think his name is Rob Young. He was never in any other movies. It's the only movie he's ever been in.
Really?
Yeah.
Who? Like, where did the casting come from?
I don't know. Dude, Gus was such a goated caster in that time period. Like, the Paranoid Park kid, not in anything else. Elephant Kid, barely in anything else.
This is what... This looks like girls that you're into? Think that?
Is it from the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't think so? Like, brown hair... White, like no good.
I mean, definitely checks those two boxes.
Like preppy attire, like what do you?
Yeah, right. You like the preppy stuff, right? Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's not as on the nose.
Yeah.
No, but now look up Michael.
I was never into the preppy stuff because I was goth and edgy, and I was edgy.
No, but now look up Michael Pitt, Finding Forrester, because how he looked is like how I think I tried to dress, or like what I was into fashion wise. You'll understand what I'm saying, I think.
Yeah, so true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then Busta Rhymes, Jamal's older brother, is what I'm actually about, which is just like kind of like being hood and mess.
Yeah, dude, your hood. Wait, what were you saying before?
But William Forrester, Sean Connery, is like what I'm actually trying to be about, and like be some like philosopher style guy, like recluse, mysterious mystery man.
Yeah, that's
like literally, it contains every element of my identity is in this movie. It's like, so funny.
Took it all from Finding Forrester.
I literally did.
That's so sick.
No, dude, Micah's brother DM'd me when I posted. He was like, "Wow, everything about you makes sense now." I felt so seen. No, and Petrus was like, does it feel weird, like, inviting people to come see this? That, like, it's so, like, people watching this movie is, like, so revealing about you. And I was like, I do know what you mean. Like, I did randomly feel vulnerable, like, having people see this thing that, like, I've basically, like, jacked all of my aesthetics and, like, everything from this movie. But I was like, it also made me feel seen. I was like, yeah, you... It's like, it felt good. So I'm like, yeah, you see, like, this is what I'm about. Like, this is my whole shit. Do you know what I mean?
What the fuck is really good? We're back. We being the Ion Pack, the hosts of the critically acclaimed Ion Pod, the very podcast of which you just heard a free sneak preview of. If you want to hear more than just the sneak preview, there's only one way that you can do that, and that is by going right now to a web browser of your choice and typing in patreon.com/theionpack, or you could use the app, I guess, but you know what I mean. patreon.com/theionpack, pledge at least $5. You can pledge more if you want, and get a whole treasure trove of episodes just like this one. patreon.com/theionpack. You already know.
Patreon.